Welcome to Jedi Alliance. Today we're going to be talking about news from all over the holonet of many different areas of the Star Wars universe to talk about. There's one big piece of news that I guess we can talk about in the realms of casting. We're going to talk about that and more. We have a big announcement at the end of the show, so make sure you stay tuned.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Jedi Alliance.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Jedi Alliance right here on the Popcorn Talk Network. It is a celebration of the greatest saga ever told. I am one of your hosts, the Internet's Mark Bujanica, joined, as always, by the one, the only, Mr. John Rocha.
Hello, everybody. How you doing? This is such a great... Why do you salute from the right versus the left? Is it a respect thing?
It's countries. It depends. Some countries do left-hand, some countries do right.
Well, then I'm saluting all the countries who are watching us right now. Beautiful. Out of respect.
You beautiful man.
Unless this is a salute.
You need to be careful what you're doing.
The Alliance! No. The Rebels. The Empire.
Let's talk about those alliances. Not any real life wars. You can follow him on Twitter at The Roka Says, which is his tribute to The Rock. And also joining us is Chat Master Michael Young.
Once again, we are here.
Let's talk about the greatest
story ever told, guys.
Oh, this is how you do it.
You know what it is. Star Wars. Let's get into it.
I can like that.
Find him on Twitter at One Young. So that's O-N-E-Y-O-U-N-G-S-T-A. Love it. Absolutely love it. Today is a pretty big... I mean, it was going to be a slow news day.
Yeah.
Then Twitter died. It was resurrected by the idea of Donald Glover playing a young Lando.
Yeah.
We will get to that. Let's get to some of our other news from the Holonet. Ba-doop. Some random stuff here and there.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw all of it.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about it.
Let's do it.
Let's talk about Joss Whedon being interested in Star Wars. Now, here's a guy who's been way overblown with, like, franchises and popular media and being sort of at the on the chain of a major movie studio.
Yeah.
Why would he want Star Wars? You see the Rogue One trailer, it starts to change you.
Yeah. What did we say? What have we been saying? I'm sure I'm not the only one who says this all the time, but, like, when you bring new voice, when you open the door to new voices, then you can bring in other directors to give a shot. You create a platform for them to have an opportunity to not necessarily tie things into a bigger trilogy, but rather have their own stories that can have elements of the past stuff, either in book or movie form, come and visit in. And I think that's fantastic. So why wouldn't he be interested in doing something like this? It's a one-off. It would be his own thing. It'd be the Joss Whedon. I think Cuarón would be great. I think
awesome.
Inarritu would be awesome to have him do a Star Wars. It's more deep. So the fact that this is what Rogue One has done. This is what I think was their intention, Star Wars, to show by taking this chance Disney did, by taking the chance of creating something new that isn't necessarily tied into a trilogy, so you're not necessarily handcuffed to it. That is brilliant.
Michael, what would you want to see from a Joss Whedon Star Wars movie?
Something fun. And when I say something fun, I mean something that can be... have a little bit of camp, but not, of course, break the style of Star Wars. But I'd like to see some people that we've never heard about, brand new people in a brand new corner of the galaxy that, like he said, he doesn't want it tied to... So, I mean, it'll be during the occupation of the Empire or the First Order.
Right.
But, you know, they won't know Luke, they won't know Han, they won't know Leia, they might not even know the Rebels. They might just be some people that are kind of like on their own. But maybe they have an axe to grind of their own against the Empire.
It's like an independent rebel cell.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would want to see, from Joss, I would want to see like a farce. Like,
ooh,
that's, if
yeah,
there's
good.
Any bit of Star Wars
like
that we haven't seen, we haven't seen a straight up farce. You might be able to count Lego stuff.
Maybe Spaceballs.
So Spaceballs-esque.
Right. Yeah.
But something where Star Wars kind of has become a joke onto itself.
Yeah.
And that would be, I think, the right amount of self-awareness where we can go, oh, yeah, we are kind of locked into this never-ending cycle of let's just watch Star Wars movies.
Why wouldn't a Star Wars comedy be possible? That's certainly, why wouldn't it be possible? I mean, your life has to happen. No matter what regime you're under, there is still a possibility of comedy.
Or have them do a Star Wars version of Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are Dead.
Perfect, yeah.
Which I guess you could count Droid Tales as being that with C-3PO and R2-D2.
Yeah,
but I think something with some different characters that we may see in the background consistently.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah. That's a great choice, though. He's a fantastic guy to bring on.
I think so. The fact that he just saw the trailer and went, I want to do that.
Yeah. They accomplished their goal.
Yep.
I would think.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
Let's move on to our next story. For those of you who have not yet to play Battlefront, don't you worry. This winter, in November, the Battlefront Ultimate Edition is going to be hitting stores. It's going to be coming with all of the DLC, including the Rogue One Scarif, which will be coming out later this holiday. And then they also announced that the VR is going to be coming holiday as well.
Yeah.
So that means December-ish, January-ish. They're leaving it vague so that they can work out all the kinks. Would this get you back into Battlefront?
Absolutely. I mean, it'll be $9,000 to buy it, and then the a downloadable content will be another $10,000.
Well, no, but that, I'm no, totally that's the thing. The thing about the Ultimate Edition is it's everything in one.
Yeah.
And I've heard that the rumored price right now is $40.
What?
Yes.
For everything in one?
For everything in one.
Wow.
That's, well, that's then, the rumored price at the very least. At the very most, it would be $60.
Right.
It would just go back up to full price.
Even more so. Mm-hmm. That would make me want to do it, absolutely. Because it's a... I'm not, listen, kids, I am not your age. So when I play that game, it is really hard for hand-eye coordination for a man like me. But the game is engrossing with the challenges that it has, and they do a really good job of fleshing out the characters, fleshing out the environments, mm-hmm. and what can happen within them, and how playable it is a lot of fun. Yes, there's no story necessarily, but it's still a fun time in front of your computer, in front of your console.
Mm-hmm. What, have you played any Battlefront?
No, I haven't played any Battlefront, but I have played a lot of VR stuff.
Oh, yeah?
Mm. And this could be really cool. I still think VR is about 5 years off from where we really want it to be. Mm-hmm. But just, man, just the idea of just being in a ship is, man,
like I was talking to my wife about I'm not probably not going to be getting any games anytime soon.
Yeah.
But I'm probably going to be buying a VR set. I'm like, oh, come on. We can't really afford it. And I was like, I'm going to put it on a credit card. Like, that's even worse. But Star Wars VR is coming out, and you can pilot an X-Wing and have a thing. She's like, well, why didn't you say that in the first place?
Oh, you got a good wife then.
Yeah.
You've got a very good wife.
If it's, hey, let's live Star Wars.
Yeah, she's in.
Sure.
No problem.
All about it. I'm beyond excited for it.
And this goes a long way to kind of like – what they've been doing since the release of the first Battlefront, of this particular version of like smoothing over the PR disaster that it was initially because of the downloadable content and how much that was. There was just a lot of stuff about that. Mm-hmm. So this way you just do it at a good price and everything's there. Then you kind of go, okay, we get it. We're going to learn our lesson and move forward from here. I think it's a smart move.
I think it's a smart move too. Yeah. And I hope that gets you into Battlefront as well, because it's fun. Yeah.
I've seen people play it and it just looks so real.
Yeah.
It's incredible, like the graphics that are in that game. EA is really, really killing it.
Yeah. They stepped it up. The one thing that I would say is it does for me anyway. It fell into a slump of I couldn't play it as often as I wanted to. So anytime I would come back, everybody else got better, but I stayed the same.
Yeah.
So it stopped being fun.
Right.
Which was really unfortunate. So I hope that the Ultimate Edition sort of brings back the crowd that we were hoping for. But yes, make sure to go to your local game store and pre-order for the bonus. I don't know if there's going to be bonus or not. Let's move on next. This story was, I was originally going to do it, and then we got a request from a fan to do this story. We got an excerpt from Rogue One Catalyst. We were talking about a little while about how we would want to see young Jyn Erso and Galen Erso and how they got involved. And it seems like this is the backstory of the Erso family.
Right.
So this is coming out later this year, but we have a bit of an excerpt, John.
Yeah.
We're gonna request of you to do a little bit of a reading in your best. This is your audition, technically.
Yes, thank you.
For the audiobook.
I hope I get this one.
I hope so, too.
I've done four of these, and I haven't gotten a call yet. So
have you sent these in to anybody?
You
got to pull these out and post them.
Shoot, my bad.
That's
Is that a lot?
Got to put it
thing.
Up on YouTube. Got to get that thing. John Roker page
That's right, the John Roker Reads page. All these people coming after a copyright infringement. No, but I like this cover is fantastic, though. Yeah. And I don't care. You can bitch about it being about the Death Star all you want. I don't care. I still love it. That icon. It's a very iconic image. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to go back to explore more areas about it and more things about it, I'm always a fan of that. If you do it well, I got no problems with it.
I agree with you. So, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to present a reading with Roka. This is an excerpt from Rogue One, Catalyst. John?
The tall gate swung open, and suddenly Galen Erso was standing alongside the carriage, bracketed by two prison guards, looking much thinner than Lyra allowed herself to admit. The guards, however, made no effort to restrain him when he shuffled to her, embracing her and Jin for a long moment. "You look lovelier than ever," he said, stepping back to take them in. His eyes went to Jin. "Let me hold her." Lyra passed Jin to him. Carefully, he peeled away the swaddling that masked her face and smiled more broadly than Lyra had ever seen him smile. Jin stirred in his arms, and Lyra said, "She remembers you, Galen." "She's beautiful," he said, inspecting her face. "Her eyes have changed color." Lyra nodded. "They're sort of flecked." "Stardust," Galen said. "That's what's in her eyes." "Galen, what's happening?" Lyra risked asking. "Why have we been brought here? They're not going to..." "I haven't been told anything. They took me out of my cell before dawn." "The same with us. I'm worried." "Don't be." He showed her his grimy hands. "See? No restraints. And no one has brandished a Krennic grinned and..." "And no one has brandished a..." Okay, that's weird.
We we copied and pasted, and it should have...
Let's just say, "And no one has brandished a gun or something."
Yeah.
Krennic grinned and sauntered over to them. Reaching for Galen's hand, he said, "Dr. Urso, I'm so relieved to find you in good health." He turned to Lyra while he was still pumping Galen's hand. "Oh, and Mrs. Urso, and... Oh my, is this the child?" Lyra had her mouth open to respond, but nothing emerged. "May I have a peek?" She moved Jin forward and removed the wrappings that covered her face. "Precious. She looks just like you." Businesslike once more, Krennic returned to the boarding ramp. "Dr. Urso, if you and your wife would be so kind as to hurry aboard." "I hope that your journeys are fruitful," Chieftain Group called out as Galen and Lyra were climbing into the ship. Once inside, Krennic whirled Galen into an embrace. "How wonderful to see you after all this time." "Orson, I don't under..." "Not now," Krennic interrupted, stepping back but continuing to grip Galen's arms. "I'll explain everything in due course, but right now there are more important matters to attend to."
Ladies and gentlemen, that was John Rocha reading an excerpt from Rogue One.
Thank you.
Catalyst.
What do we got? What do we got, folks in chat saying about that? Because I know it's a pretty active time.
Don Herbert says he's got Don Draper timber.
Oh, thank you.
Lewis Cox says, "Oh my God, Roka's voice, man, it's very smooth."
Can you sell me a Colt 45?
Absolutely, Colt 45. Come on in here to Bespin. Wait, God, how'd you walk me into that?
I did not.
Damn it, Mark.
I did not.
Damn it.
Y'all did that your damn self.
Here in Cloud City.
I did not. Now I want to see the Cloud City.
Colt 45.
Colt 45 ad. That'd be great. So we find out in this that Krennic and Urso, the Urso family, go way back.
Yeah.
Whether this was creepy though, I was getting super creepy vibes from Krennic in this.
Yeah, well, I think that's the intention because you get this feeling that they work together for something. Obviously, the Death Star is obviously the end goal for what it looks like. But what is going on between them is a friendship that it seems to have deeper roots than we anticipated. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he knows Jin from a child, like a baby, that's going to lead to something in Rogue One. Mm-hmm. Definitely, you know, that's going to come to fruition in some way, in some form.
I wonder how early she knew or. Krennic knew about Jin.
Yeah.
I'm curious to find out when that the relationship started between him and Galen Erso.
Yeah.
It just makes it so much more interesting by the time Rogue One comes around.
Yeah, and I feel something happens with Lyra. Clearly, it might happen in the book that gives you a background to walking into the movie.
The old Disney trope. Yes, kill one of the parents before we get to it. What did you think about the excerpt, Michael?
I thought it was a nice peek. I didn't think it was super spoiler because a lot of people were saying, don't read it, it's a spoiler. So of course, when you say, Michael, don't read it, it's a spoiler, I have to read it. So I read it, and I was like, oh, well, it's not really a spoiler. It kind of just sets up kind of like the relationships, the how people know each other, stuff like that, and kind of like their attitudes towards each other. So I didn't think it was too bad, and I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. I like getting the character side of a lot of our players inside of the galaxy.
Yeah.
I'm kind of seeing that it's more than just, you know, punching each other and, you know, flying ships. Even though flying ships...
They're bad guys who meet at a time, and now they don't like each other. Star Wars. If you want to hear more of that excerpt, make sure to go to usatoday.com. That's who posted the excerpt. Make sure to take a look at that.
Yeah.
Our next story, something really quick. If you are a toy collector, if you're like our good friend Mike Black, and you enjoy toys, just announced HasCon, a Hasbro convention, which is one of the main manufacturers of Star Wars toys, is going to be happening next year in 2017. That is September 8th through the 10th in Rhode Island. So if you're a major toy collector, there are going to be massive exclusives at this. It's just a toy convention.
Yeah.
That's madness. Super excited for it. Everybody who's in, we know you're into My Little Pony. We know you're into Transformers. We know you're into Star Wars. Go have yourself a good time. Get yourself a Rainbow Sparkle.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's a Transformer or My Little Pony.
It's a My Little Pony. But yes.
go ahead and pick one up. Make sure, have a good time. And let's move on to our last story.
I wonder if they'll have any Springload stuff. As the voice of Springload on Transformers Robots in Disguise, I would like to see some Springload stuff. The fact that you didn't even reference that breaks my heart like crazy.
Well, I opened up the opportunity for you to go to say that. And you just let me spew Rainbow Sparkle.
How dare you,
sir? How dare I?
Is that Kanja Glove up there above the H?
No. That's something from Warcraft Warhammer 40K.
I thought it was Mark Ellis.
I did for just a second. I'm like,
is that Andy Karras up there?
Come on now.
Good for him.
He beat me once. That's enough.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, right.
Spoilers for... ABC.
From last week.
The Schmoden.
The Schmoden. Yes.
Yeah.
Let's get to it.
The Schmozen is Schmoden.
We've done enough small talk. Let's get to the
main thing. Yeah. Donald Glover confirmed as young Lando Calrissian in the Han Solo solo film.
Right. That too fast.
Han Solo solo. Han Solo solo solo. So we've got Childish Gambando coming in. That was a bad one.
That was
hot.
It's a really bad one. We've kind of been talking about this for a month.
Yeah.
Like, we've been talking about this for a while.
Yeah. Right.
So...
there it is.
Finally getting it confirmed.
Mm-hmm.
How do we feel?
Well, I initially wasn't the biggest fan of this idea because I don't know that he can play smooth like Lando is smooth. Mm-hmm. But there are reviews of Atlanta, the show that's on FX, where he is supposedly really killing it. And... I can't say who I know that did something with him during this process.
Okay.
But they said he killed it in the process.
Yeah.
So for me, the rumors of what I'm hearing from the people that I know, the sources I have, are that he is fantastic as Lando, be blown away by the Lando he creates. And so now I'm on the train. I bought a ticket in first class. And I'm on the train to go see what he does with it.
So you're going
to
watch the movie on a train?
Yes.
That's a lot. That's a big investment.
Yes.
So you have to get the rights, and then you have to put it on the train. That's a lot, but good for you. I really appreciate your dedication to that.
Do you?
Seeing how far I went.
Yes.
How far I
absolutely.
Go.
I was waiting for a Hogwarts Express reference, but you didn't get there.
No, I didn't.
Oh. You roast.
We should go on to Reddit's Misconnections, because that seems to be all of the jokes today are just like, I saw a man with a Target shirt.
He was on a train. Yes.
He was on a magical train, and there were theaters everywhere. Don't worry about it.
Yes. Let's move forward. Yes. What do you think? What do you think?
I mean, I've been a fan of Donald Glover since his days as an internet comedian.
Obviously.
And Atlanta is one of those... bucket list shows. One of those shows right now that's like near the top of my list of stuff to watch. I still haven't finished Luke Cage.
Right.
I've barely watched any TV this season just because of the craziness that's going on in the studio.
Yeah.
But Atlanta, the minute I saw that it was confirmed, I was like, I got to make sure to watch that. Because he is 100% a comedic actor. And if you see any of his stuff as Childish Gambino, some of the video performance that he does fills in the gap of the dramatic, of the eclectic, of the weird. So I think he can pull it 100%.
Yeah.
What do you think, Michael?
Donald Glover is very diverse. Mm-hmm. And he's got like a vast talent. So his stand-up is cool. His music is cool. His show is cool. He's been proven as a writer and an actor. Mm-hmm. I think they found a guy who can kind of like hit all corners of the characteristics of Lando to be able to knock this out.
Well, you just said it yourself. Everything that he does is cool. And that's Lando.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. True.
Lando is the coolest.
Yes.
So I think they hit the nail on the head. And we've talked about it so much that How much of a role do you think he's going to have in the movie?
I think it'll be a significant role. I don't think it'll be like a co-lead, but I think it'll be a significant role because Lando is always best in doses. He's not always best as a lead in the films, a lead. And Lando is best because of that. That's what makes him such a fantastic character, is you only get to spend a certain amount of time with him and he leaves you wanting more. And the number one rule of entertainment is to always leave him wanting more. And I think with Lando, that character like that, it's smart to use him in concentrated doses. You just have a blast with him. And then you can, well, then when he shows up again, you're happy again, like you spike, you know, so it's a good thing.
Do you think this might be how Han gets the Falcon?
Yes, absolutely. I think they'll have that.
I think
that
this match could even, like, he could even just be at the top.
Yeah,
you know, be at the top, and it's the setup, like a Casino Royale, where right. you come in on a card game and you have to bolt yeah. before anybody catches you, and that's how Han gets the Millennium Falcon.
With his eye bleeding.
Yeah, totally. 100%.
No, I dig, I think it's good to use it that way, but because you're going to have, if you're going to have Sana Solo in here, you're going to have all this stuff that's going on, you're going to need to have a good counterpart for Han. Mm-hmm. They're obviously going to have a main villain, but there's got to be something that's going to like really flesh out the Han universe, and you have to have Lando. You can't have Han without, you just can't have a Han universe without Lando.
And I hope we get a better backstory to the response of, how you been, kid?
Yeah,
than
yeah.
we did to,
and he was a good friend.
and take that how you will. Yeah. But super exciting. Donald Glover has been nailing it in all aspects yeah. of entertainment. So I'm sure he is beyond geeked
yeah.
to be able to be a part of the Star Wars universe and be a pilot of the Millennium Falcon,
absolutely.
Which is, as we'll reveal later, a very popular ship amongst the Star Wars and, fandom.
And also, hopefully, he gets the chance to wear the cape so his cape Ooh. Game can remain strong.
Yes.
Cape game strong. Cape game strong.
And you know what? People might find it a little bit too hokey.
Yeah.
Let's give him a musical break. Let's give him a little break in the middle of the movie where he gets a chance to be Childish Gambino. I'm just where are the straws? Where are they? I'm just trying to
now that's
grab
the,
them.
That's maybe Joss Whedon should direct
the musical?
A Lando movie. Joss Whedon would be great for a Lando movie. The same kind of sensibilities, the same kind of funniness. I think that would work completely. Look, I get if you want to bring in a black director, I respect that. But Joss Whedon would be good with this too because of the kind of character that Lando is. I think it would work brilliantly.
Interesting. Let us know what you think about a Joss Whedon, Donald Glover, Lando musical.
I want my money, Disney.
We Finders all want fee. That Disney money.
Hello.
So why don't we move from there to Rebels Rewind.
Yeah.
This last weekend's episode was the last battle. It was technically the series finale of the Clone Wars.
Yeah.
Finally.
Right.
So what did y'all think of this episode? Strong?
Strong-ish.
Ooh, okay.
There were things that I didn't really care for.
Okay.
But I'll be honest, I didn't realize how much I would miss the Clone Wars sound effects.
Mm.
Not the Roger, but like the right. The ratio.
Who's Roger?
He's like, who's Roger? But what is it? The D-car droids or whatever,
yeah.
the blasters, like those sounds.
Yeah.
I missed those sounds.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also liked how they kind of decided that we have a common enemy.
Yes.
So I liked that a lot. But then I did feel Ezra wasn't super needed.
He wasn't. Yeah. He was a distraction.
Yeah, I felt he wasn't super needed. But maybe he was there to prove, you know, maybe he was there to prove that, you know, he still has a long way to go.
Yeah. Well, and I'm not the most comfortable that they made him the reason the Clone Wars ended.
Me either. Like, I think it was super shoehorned.
Yes, and I think they're doing that because they made him leave the show. You got to make him, give him the big parts to play, the big storylines to play out. But, like, for me, I thought it was a little unnecessary to make him. I would have rather it been Kanan because that seems to, because of the Jedi involvement, because of all that happened with the Order 66. Everything that happened there, it would have been a nice little bow to tie on it, you know. And I get it because Ezra's out of the loop. He's not close enough to it that he could be the one that figures out what the problems are and solves it. But I think it would have been better if it had been Kanan because his growing foresight with not having sight
yeah.
needs to be catered to a bit more and not as much and not Ezra as much. And it just seemed, yeah, like you were saying, Mark, I agree with you. It was shoehorned in. But the episode itself, I thought, was very enjoyable. It was obviously not as good as Hera's from last week, which I finally watched after the show last week. That was a great episode. This is more like a matter of like, okay, let's give Rex a little bit of...
This is Rex's backstory.
Yes, yes.
This is a little bit in the Rex camp. And it worked, I guess. it was great. It was great to see Rex.
Yes.
Like, not like, oh man, the Clone Wars sucked, but be like, no, we're formation. Let's do this maneuver.
Yeah.
And sort of the little bit of flashbacks of working with Anakin and Ahsoka.
Yeah.
But it, as the, all of Ezra's parts were just like, it was Rebels' version of,
because someone erased it from the archive memory.
It was that. It was like, oh, that kid didn't have. Yeah. It could have been anybody.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was that kid.
Yeah.
Weird. It was. I think it was fun to hear Roger again.
Yeah.
To see everybody in formation. Zeb trying to get involved, mm-hmm. and being. I don't like how he was just the hostage. Where, yeah. he could have been like, bink, whatever.
Well, it's interesting because Zeb has been kind of pushed to the back seat through the whole season. It feels like, yeah. you know, and I haven't seen enough of him in the storylines that they presented that would make it interesting, and it kind of bothers me. And that occurred to me for the first time during this episode. I'm like, they're wasting Zeb.
They're setting him up to take an L in the end of the season.
Oh, you think they kill him off?
Because he has been shoved to the back.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if they're kind of trying to prepare us for the blow.
Yeah.
If there is a character to die, it would be bringing up some.
Wow. We talked about this before.
Yeah.
I don't think Zeb
was on the list.
No,
of any
I think
of
so.
Us.
Ah, well, see, in my opinion, it's not that I don't like Zeb.
Of course not.
I think they can get along without him.
Probably, I think, as Ezra's power grows as a warrior, Zeb becomes less and less necessary. That's very true. They might end up, it might end up not being killed, but might end up going back to a planet, like finding a home on a planet finally.
Going back to new home planet that they made that only he could get to.
Yeah, exactly.
Going back to being a leader of the Lasan would be a much better place for him. Like, if he has an episode where the brute sort of fades away and you realize, oh, he's a very good talker and speaker and representative, then I think that would be a great transition.
Yeah.
He would he could make up for Jar Jar's replacement on the Senate floor, sure. Dello Felagats.
There we go.
But I agree. A lot of this was good.
Yeah.
And it could have been really great.
Yeah.
I think it's setting us up for next episode being something spectacular.
Yeah, which isn't until November 5th, I think.
Yeah, we got a little bit of a break.
Something imperial. Kalani was a great character too. I thought, as the head of the droids, taking upon himself not to be deprogrammed. I didn't know you could even do that.
Yeah,
and so it was.
Well, as a strategy droid, while there's freedom to acknowledge if it's a part of your programming, it's not restricted.
Right.
So it was his. It was a part of his strategic programming to do everything that he did and essentially remove any of the decommissioning stuff that was installed.
This has shades of like, you could say, like an old school Civil War reenactor gone crazy. Like, I'm going to play out the South one last time, one last battle. I'm going to show you how we could have won the Civil War if we'd had this time. Like, it has that kind of vibe to it, but it was
totally
in, right? But it's in a kid's format, kid's show format, so it's fine. Yeah. But like, this very much feels like the fact that he wants to have a pseudo battle to affirm whether the droid army or the clone army would have won is just like, to me, that's just so ridiculous. But Ezra did discover a couple of things, that the fact that Rex, like, he has a growing obviously respect and affection for Rex, but Rex isn't a clone, you know. And there's that moment where he says the thing about the droid, and Ezra says, just like a droid, like, you know, the droid says, I just want to win this thing, and then Rex says something. And he goes, just like a droid. And that's his realization that programming is so deep in them that they, you know, you can't really depend on them as you would normal people or normal creatures, I guess. And so I like that in his growing understanding as a character, you know, as he gets more experience. And I like that Rex called him out and said, you're being an idiot. You're rushing into stuff. You're not following orders. You need to do this stuff. That's how you're going to grow. And this is all a real subtle way of building Ezra's confidence and Ezra's foundation as a warrior as the series goes on.
In either a positive or a negative light.
Right, exactly. Yeah. It's just experience.
Whichever, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Experience. He doesn't have battle experience. He has extraction experience. He has some mission experience. Yeah. But he doesn't have war experience.
Exactly.
Which is what having the PTSD moment with Rex, like, man. Where am I? And everybody. Nope. Kanan.
That was great.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I thought it was back. but it was fun. Not to say that it was a bad episode. No. It was fun, and it's good Rebels time. But it's, I mean, we keep going back to Zeb and Callus. You know, it's hard to come back up from that, or any of the stuff with Maul or Hera's Heroes last week. When you have Thrawn, it's important to have the droids. It's important to go and put that button in the Clone Wars a little bit. But I don't know.
I think in some way they closed the book on it. They closed the book. It's done.
They finally took the pin out.
Yeah.
Sort of to a degree, because I don't know if you guys were reading the Darth Vader comic book, but Darth Vader actually has a interaction with some droids. I'll say that.
Oh, right.
Oh, fun.
So, okay.
So, yeah.
Well, the battle droids, they still use the battle droids as a promotional tool, because in the Freemaker Adventures, we have Roger, who is a main character, who is so fun.
His name is Roger.
R-O-G hyphen R. So, Roger. Wow. And he is on record saying he is the last battle droid, and he's going to write memoirs and this stuff. It's a very, very funny character. Wow. So the battle droids are still a big part of their financial strategy. Right, so seeing the fact that Moore got away, he could, and we got another thing about a hint about Geonosis.
Yes, whether that was great.
The first battle or the final battle at Geonosis that keeps being teased.
Yeah,
That I think is they're keeping that in our heads, and who knows if that droid is going back to the factory now that they have a ship to build more droids.
Yeah.
There could be a standing droid army in the death of Geonosis somewhere, just ready.
Yeah,
who knows?
Who knows?
Still could be alive today.
I'm down.
I like that. I'm down too.
That could be real cool.
It could be. So let's move from here to our new segment, Fan Probe. That's where you live in the chat. Provide us with questions to answer as a group. So please, while you're giving those questions, we also want suggestions for who's going to defend what in this week's Duel of Fates. So this week's Duel of Fates didn't do it at the top of the show. Still new. we are going to be debating for a galactic empire or against a galactic empire. So what we want you to do is, before you tell us what you go for, we want you to tell us who is going to be defending what point. Do you want John to defend for a Galactic Empire or against the Galactic Empire? Do you want me to defend for a Galactic Empire or against a Galactic Empire? Let us know in the comments down below in the live chat. But while they're doing that, Michael, is there any questions for us to answer?
Not just yet, but we do have some comments.
Let's get to you, too.
And I keep forgetting, but Sluice Friggins. Yes, did not mess it up this time. he said the stormtroopers versus the battle droids and the clone troopers was like Filoni playing with all of his toys.
That's great. I love that.
Also, you have, once again, Sluice Friggins saying that the quick shot of Governor Price was just so gangsta, and that he thinks the Empire is more gangster now because of Thrawn's influence.
Yeah.
Like, Thrawn, you know, kind of gives them a little more leeway to say, we're winning again.
Yeah.
You know, we're back on the, you know.
Make the Empire great again.
Go ahead.
I do think Callus, we're going to find out that Callus is Fulcrum. I do. This is my belief.
I think they're probably leading to that.
Yeah.
But I thought that until the end, where he said, tell Zeb that we're even.
Yeah.
You know? I think that was either a misdirect, so people go, it's not him.
Right.
Or a hint to be like, it's definitely him.
Yeah.
So it depends on how people react.
Just from the speech pattern of the Fulcrum, it's very similar to David Oyelowo's speech pattern.
But it could also be a voice modulator.
Yeah, true.
That's why I think people are putting that together, like, it kind of sounds like him.
Yeah.
Could be a woman.
That's a good point. Like it was the first time.
Mm-hmm.
All right, go ahead.
All right, Dr. 1701A says, "Do you think
that's a Star Trek reference? Get off the chat.
That's fine.
Do you think we have seen too much of Rogue One already?
No, I don't think so.
I think we've seen just enough.
Yes,
like we don't. To be honest, we don't know. Like things are only coming out now that we've had Episode 7 in public lexicon for so long that people go, they showed us Act 3, they showed us this, they showed us that. But we had no idea because we don't have the framing yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now I think with Catalyst and the toys, they're keeping our focus here, but I don't think we've seen nearly as many of the confrontations or any of the big battles. Like, we're seeing bits of big battles, but I don't think we don't have the heart there yet because we're not with those people.
And it's always your choice of how much you want to see, right? Mm-hmm. It's your choice. Is there enough out there for you to have a good understanding of what might be happening in the film? Great. Yeah, there is, but it's your choice to see it all. It's your choice to collect the comics or collect the figures or whatever. So for me, I've seen what I need to see. I'm good. Like, I don't need to see any TV spots. I will change the channel if there's a TV spot. I will not absolutely. Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to watch any of them. I'm just going to watch
about 12 of them.
Yeah, that's right. So for me, I'm at that point. Like, I'm good. I'm ready to go. Like, don't need the TV
between
spots.
I would love to read Catalyst.
Yes.
But between finishing Life Debt and the Ahsoka book,
and
then this, it's like, I don't know if I'll be able to. I really want to, and I want to cover them on the show. But I'm real sad that there's so much, but I think the book will reinforce some of the, like, what we've seen in trailers and what we're expecting to see in movies. I think it'll make the relationship between Krennic and Jin that much more interesting.
Yeah.
Is if you go, oh, there's that one time where he was creeping on her as a kid. Whoo, not a fan of that. Do you have any other questions?
How much more time do we have? Because we have three that I really like to get to.
Okay. Let's do one more question.
All right. Since I don't think we covered this, Don Herbert says, what do you think of the Kyber Crystal news? Apologies if we've already covered it.
I'm not as familiar.
No. All right. Well, there was somebody brought in some scientific kind of like reasoning to the Kyber crystals, and that when someone from the dark side gets a crystal, they can't find the Kyber crystal on their own. They have to steal it. And when they steal it from, you know, like a Jedi, after they use it, their, I guess, evil emotion feeds into the Kyber crystal, turning it red.
Yeah.
Hmm. That's something that has been sort of kind of like made canon now, I guess you could say.
Oh, so they finally agreed with it?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, what do you guys think about it? I didn't think it was necessary.
Yeah.
I don't think it was necessary to be cleared up.
Yeah, I didn't think it was necessary at all. It could just be like, hey, they use red because red is like blood or something. I don't know.
Right.
They just use red because it's bad.
The fact that they steal it and it sort of poisons the purity of the crystal, that makes sense. But,
I don't think the Star Wars universe was clamoring for this to be resolved.
No, I think everybody was like, I think, I mean, like how we're reacting.
Yep.
Yeah. Forget it. Let's go one more. Let's go one more. Let's not end on that.
And Jonathan Peck asks, he says top five, but I'll just say throw out one. What's a director that you think could direct a third spinoff film? And since he doesn't say which one, I'm guessing we're not talking about Solo.
No.
We're talking about. I don't know. I guess whatever.
The last one was rumored was Boba Fett, but that's probably not going to happen.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Maybe.
Hmm. Depending on what Patty Jenkins does with Wonder Woman, I would love to see Patty Jenkins' version of Leia. I think we need to have a female director in the Star Wars universe. Like, that needs to be something that is the next goal for Disney. Yeah. You have to have a females. I'm glad that you're making female leads in the Star Wars properties. I'm a big fan of this. Great, give me directors that are going to really show me a woman's take on this property, this franchise, because you have new voices.
I'll jump off of that and say that I was looking at Ava DuVernay, even though I think she's been kind of rumored to be maybe taking on a Star Wars property, especially with her talking about, or was it J.J. Abrams, I think, talking about the notes that she gave him on Force Awakens.
Yeah.
But I think I would like to see maybe a place where, like, the women kind of, like, rebel themselves. Like, maybe it's kind of like a, I don't know, a Wonder Woman planet or something, but the women are Amazons. Oh. They're just, like, regular women that just, I don't know, they're like farmers or something, but they have to kind of, like, rise up on their own. That could be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Like Star Wars Lys Estrada
sort of thing. That'd be cool.
I'm down.
Yeah. I mean, that property's hot again after Chirac a couple months ago.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
Yeah.
I was going to say Ava DuVernay, but I would also think, to be perfectly honest, Ron Howard. I would love to see if Ron Howard would either go like How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Sure.
Or Munich.
Ron Howard Chewbacca film? A Wookiees film?
I didn't even say. I just want Ron Howard to do something.
I'm down with that.
Or like the Battle of Kashyyyk with Ron Howard.
Yeah, be great.
I think he has just a specific voice. Or even some like Spielberg. Spielberg do an adventure? I don't know. There's too many great directors.
I wonder if Spielberg would ever do, because like Lucas is not involved. I wonder how much Spielberg would be willing to kind of like do that.
It's like cut to Indiana Jones 5 moving forward.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So it's gonna happen. So thank you for asking all your questions. Make sure if you want to ask us a question, be here live. We are on Mondays at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We love doing the live bit now. So please, let's move on from there to Duel of the Fates. So, remember, we are looking for who's going to defend for the Galactic Empire or against the Galactic Empire. But while you're still voting for that, we're going to talk about last week's question, which was Ghost versus the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
Which is the better ship? John defended very well for the Ghost.
I tried.
And I didn't very well for the Falcon on purpose to see if people go, well, it's the Falcon. That's not true. that's not true at all. But as it would seem,
yes,
overwhelmingly the Falcon pulled forward because everybody... But most of the answers weren't as complex. They were like,
no.
Yeah, it's the Falcon. Duh.
Right.
Were most of the answers. And that wasn't as interesting to me. So I pulled a lot of stuff that made a defense for the Ghost, because okay, I thought that more interesting. Why don't you read Brian Sales?
Okay, Brian Sales says, the Ghost is a wannabe Serenity, and the Serenity is a wannabe Falcon. The Millennium Falcon is the king of the rogue ships. Mm.
Okay.
Sure.
Sure.
I don't agree, but okay.
thank you for taking part.
Yes.
We appreciate your answer. Michael, why so serious? Collins says, sure, the Millennium Falcon is classic, and everybody loves it, but it is a bucket of bolts, yo!
What did I say?
The Ghost is my favorite starship. It's so cool looking. The spinning motion when it flies and dodges cannon fire. She can scramble its signal when leaving and re-entering Imperial space. R.I.P. the Phantom. But when he was a part of the Ghost, that combo alone would have take a piece out of that Banta Podo. Starships don't get any better than the Ghost.
Kim Ebensgaard says, the Falcon is more iconic and has more of a personality, but its hyperdrive seems very unreliable. You think? But the Ghost looks cool, and its design reminds me of a bit of some of the freighter ship classes that were introduced back in the time of the West End game Star Wars RPG. Nice reference. Still, I have to ultimately vote for the Falcon simply because it's, well, the Falcon.
Those were the answers that we were getting. And Glenn Myron on Twitter, we do accept answers from Twitter as well. At the Geeky Hippie said, easily the Ghost, mostly because of the trump card known as the Phantom. Mm. That armed shuttlecraft can turn the tide in battle. And I agree.
Yeah. I should have given more lip service to the Phantom, but to me, we were talking about the overall ship, the Ghost. I didn't think to mention the Phantom.
So thank you very much to everybody who took part in this Duel of the Fates this week. Let's find out who's defending for what, Michael.
It is overwhelmingly Roka is fighting for the Empire.
For the Empire!
It is so overwhelming. Nobody even said anything.
Wow!
They weren't like, oh, maybe.
Really?
Yeah, they're saying that you're on the dark side.
Oh, that's true. The outlaw is on the dark side.
All right.
Here we
John
go.
John Roka, you're going to be defending.
Defecting to the Empire, yes, absolutely.
You're going to be defending for a Galactic Empire. We've got 90 seconds on the clock. Your time starts right now.
I mean, let's talk about it. Here we go. Let's talk about it. Oh, no, you got to start it. He hasn't started.
Okay. It's okay. Just hit enter.
Just
your time.
Hit enter.
Your time. We're having a bit of a technical difficulty. That's okay. Interesting.
Do you want me to time you guys?
No. So
here, let's see.
You can't hit enter? There it is. Start.
Okay, go.
All right.
Stop, we're doing.
What I'm talking about, now pull it back up so I can see the time. Now, what we're talking about here is trains running on time, people having jobs. This is what the Galactic Empire provided. Building the Death Star is very reminiscent of what Roosevelt did in the 30s. Kids, go back and look at your history. He started all these programs in the Depression to get people off their butts, out of unemployment, and working to help America build these big projects. Well, you see, with the Death Star is a massive project that they have to build, so they need people, they need products, they need to import stuff, they need people to work this thing. People die, so they got to replace them. It's all this stuff, and you go into the different planets, and you pick people out who are specialists, like what we're going to see in Rogue One. You pick them out; they're going to help design. You give them a job, then it's done effectively. So you have that. You have Darth Vader, who is an equal opportunity employer. He doesn't care what species you are. Are you a good bounty hunter? Then you are going to be employed by Darth Vader. He is not. They are not against the aliens. This is a rumor about the Galactic Empire. They're very powerful. They need to be funded funded all the time. I mean, they need to be in charge of things all the time, because just like what Disney's doing with the property now, you need one voice to keep everybody in line so that you can get to the ultimate goal. And we see that happening with the Galactic Empire, so I'm such a fan of what they do. Being from a military background myself, having served 8 years, I understand why they need things to happen the way they do, because you have all these places all over the place running around. You can't get it done. Galactic Empire and technology. The technology jumped leaps and bounds while the Empire was in charge. They were still riding camels until the Empire showed up. That's my two cents.
John Rocha's time. Very good. Very good. I like what they're... I understand what they were doing. That was a good course correct. That was a good course correct. Yes. All right. So I am going to be defending against a Galactic Empire, and my time will start right now. Ladies and gentlemen, we've seen it play out in seven movies at this point. A strong central government is a little terrifying. With having one unique voice means very few people can go in with it. I'm totally brain farting right now. You talked about, John, how people were... There were a lot of public programs. One of those public programs was a draft, sending innocent people who may or may not have been in support of the war into fight and into die and not be trained well enough, because we see how often shots may miss from stormtroopers. And as a result of the public buildings project that was the Death Star, not only did... two planets worth of people died, Alderaan and the Death Star. Mm-hmm. So that's a terrible plan. Let's kill our enemies and leave it open for us to kill our own soldiers at the same time. Nobody won that day, and they totally undid all of their work. So they went, you know what? Let's do it again. Let's spend more public money and make it as barely functional as possible, and start operating it while it can still be invaded upon. The only thing that the Galactic Empire did was kill. Very little was done for the public good.
What?
That's my time, and I'm going to run with that terrible defense.
That's... I want a counter-argument. Anyway, all right. That's a very good defense. I appreciate it.
It wasn't, but... Yeah. I have three movies on my side.
We really do.
You were shaky, but then you came up.
Then you came up.
A steady incline.
Yeah, I mean, we all read Lost Stars. We know how the loss of that Death Star was for both sides.
Yes, that's true.
We know. It was very sad.
Yeah.
It was very sad.
I enjoyed that. That was fun.
That was fun. So let us know what you think in the comments down below. On our Facebook page, we're going to post this duel tomorrow. If you're watching this live, it will be on our Facebook page at Jedi Alliance. We have reached the end of the show.
Already.
But what this means is we talked about it at the top of the show, that we do have an announcement.
Yes.
John Rook, the floor is yours.
Yes. I am announcing that sadly I will be leaving the show after next week's show. It's been a blast being on Jedi Alliance, and I've had a good time with Mark. Just, you know, taking over from Joseph, taking over, you guys taking over from Ken and Maud. It's been a fun time. But unfortunately there are other things and other projects that are coming up for me that are kind of taking me away, and I'm not able to give the show the dedication, the time and the love and effort that it so richly deserves. And I feel terrible every week that I am not able to come and step up as much as I would like. I'm a guy who very much prides himself on the work ethic he has and on the stuff he brings to any show that he's on. And the fact that I can't 100% always get there recently, I'm seeing very clearly it's not possible with the time constraints of my schedule, of the shows I'm hosting, of the job, full-time job I have now, and all these other opportunities that might be coming up for me down the pike. Mm-hmm. So unfortunately, sadly, I'm leaving the show. But I want to tell you guys, all of you, thank you so much for all the responses, all the comments, everything you guys have sent me. I've had a great time being on the show, and I'm sad to leave it. I really am, because I enjoy talking Star Wars every week, especially with Mark. And Mark, obviously, been fantastic being on the show with you.
I love you, John.
Thank you, man. Feelings mutual. And Michael, you've been a great addition to the show. I've enjoyed it for the last couple of weeks, so the last 3 weeks. But like, I just need to know that the only reason I'm going is because I just feel like I can't give it the time and dedication it deserves. And I don't want to let you guys down, let Mark down, let Michael down as a new addition to the show. I just don't. The show deserves better, and at this point, I know that I can't give it what it needs.
And that's you leaving as a host,
yes.
As a contributor.
Yes.
We, at any time when you are available, if you have the time, we would love to have you back on as a guest contributor, please.
Mark, you know I've always loved coming on as guest, so I would absolutely love to do it. Yeah, thank you so much.
So there's going to be more on this as it happens, so please make sure to follow us on all of our social media platforms, especially John for all of his projects that are coming up, but we will be updating the show as need be, so please stay tuned to all of our social media accounts. That's it for this episode of Jedi Alliance 108. Michael, where can the folks find you on Twitter, and what are you working on?
Well, right now, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at O-N-E-Y-O-U-N-G-S-T-A. That's one youngster. And you can find me on my website at thatnerdsoul.com. This week, you can find me here at AfterBuzz TV, checking out Blind Spot on Thursday night, and an after show for The Strain, which is the season finale, guys, of The Strain on Sunday night. Go there and get Strigoid out.
Boom.
John, where can folks keep up with you?
You guys can always find me at The Rocha Says, R-O-C-H-A-S-A-Y-S. I can't talk about the top 10 anymore because we're on hiatus, and which essentially means I don't know what form we're going to be coming back. So sadly, that's done. And of course, I'll be leaving the show in a couple of weeks. But you can follow, you can listen to me on The Cinephiles, the podcast that I have there on iTunes. And you can watch me tomorrow with Matt Nost and Team Top 10 take on Mark Ellis and Christian Harloff on the Ultimate Schmodown for their tag team titles. That'll be tomorrow, I think 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. It'll drop on the Collider Network.
Oh, yeah.
And if you missed me taking on Ellis, Baby Carrots, that happened last week, that is on there on YouTube as well. You can watch it there. Is there anything else that I'm doing? I don't know. I think that's it.
If you're in the Los Angeles area, if you have nothing to do, why don't you go to Wizarding World of Harry Potter and see who you see?
Yes. In many different forms right now. You could even come to Walking Dead if you want. You might see me there, too.
Maybe. Who knows? It's Horror Nights. You can see anybody anywhere. And you can find me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica. A whole bunch of stuff happening at this network, at our sister network, AfterBuzz TV. Just stay tuned. We got some great stuff coming, and this show will continue, and we will always find a way. Life
absolutely
finds a
this
way.
Is too good of a show not to continue. So yeah. It's fantastic.
And I will say, we got an amazing compliment over the weekend. Christian Harloff was pushing us as one of the positive Star Wars podcasts on the internet.
Yeah.
Us as well as Force Center with Joseph Scrimshaw and Ken Napzok. So thanks to Christian as well. He's always been a supporter of the show from back in the Schmoes No days. But for this episode, thank you for watching and or listening to Jedi Alliance. You can visit popcorntalknetwork.com to find a nice list of all the past episodes of Jedi Alliance and links to both YouTube and iTunes. Please also follow us on Twitter at @Jedi_Alliance and Facebook at Jedi Alliance for all of the US-related news. This has been Jedi Alliance on the Popcorn Talk Network. We talk movies. Thank you for listening, because many Bothans died to bring us this information.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.